health and wellness on District 32 Business Radio, the power of connection.
Hello again, this is Alan Cox from District 32 Business Radio. Today I'm here with Sue Keating from General Psychology Services. We're going to be talking, or Sue's going to talk today about anxiety.
It seems to be more and more prevalent in today's society. We are seeing it in our clinics a lot more than ever before. And we're seeing it with a lot younger children. So I'm seeing kids very young coming through my office with diagnosis of anxiety.
How young?
You can get kids who are toddlers, who have separation anxiety, don't want to go to school, well, it'll be kind of daycare at that stage, don't want to separate from parents, straight up through, right up to adults who are presenting with levels of anxiety.
Is all anxiety bad?
Well, stress and anxiety, people kind of lump them all together and will say that stress and anxiety are the same thing. But when I'm talking about, so a level of stress can actually increase performance. So we do need a little bit of stress to kind of motivate us, to keep us engaged, to help us focus on what we're doing. But when that level kind of tips over and starts to impact so that you are starting to avoid situations or events, then we're into a situation where we will be talking about anxiety, and that's not good for you. So the core feature of anxiety is actually avoidance. And that avoidance can be, you know, very overt. It could be avoiding a place, an event, a situation, or it can be more subtle, like kind of withdrawal, extreme hesitancy, not wanting to engage. But it's still high levels of anxiety involved there as well.
Where do they occur mostly? In the home?
No. So anxiety, there's not necessarily a place where they occur mostly. You're going to get anxiety across environmental situations. So some kids will feel very anxious in school settings and they will be avoiding school. Other kids will have, young people and adults will have social anxiety, so they don't want to go outside. So it's not necessarily that it happens in any one environment. It depends on the individual themselves.
How come that kids are becoming more anxious, suffering from anxiety today?
It's a really good question. And we know that up to 30%, research is showing us that 30% of young people under the age of 18 will have an episode of anxiety, will experience anxiety. That's quite a lot of kids, quite a lot of young people. We know that it's actually quite one of the more easier mental health disorders to treat effectively. And yet only 1% of young people will come forward and get help within the first year of experiencing symptoms. So lots of times anxiety will go on for years without people getting help and support. And we know that the longer it goes on, the more entrenched and the more difficult the situation gets, because anxiety then can lead to school avoidance, a school failure, depression. So it can lead on difficulties transitioning to adulthood. And yet only 1% of those young people are actually accessing support and help.
It's not really up to the young person to recognise it, though, is it?
Well, the young person is going, so we would hope that they're in an environment where they're going to be supported by parents. But the young person will be having that kind of, so along with avoidance comes a kind of an emotional component as well. So that extreme fearfulness, distress, extreme shyness, but young people can be quite good at hiding that, especially teenagers, and not letting their parents know exactly what's happening. So educating young people on what is the symptoms of anxiety, what does it look like, and that it is okay to actually go and seek help will mean that more of those kids will know where to go, when to go, and how to get help.
The stigma of saying, I'm going to see a psychologist, is that still around?
Not nearly as much. Not nearly as much as it was. Even with our younger members of society, like, you know, teenagers, and it's a lot easier for people to say now that a lot of kids will actually tell you they have anxiety or depression, they're seeing somebody. So the stigma that we had isn't there, I don't think, as much for the younger generation, but I do think it is still there for the older generation, and more so maybe for the males in our community. Although there's been a lot of help with that around, like, you know, famous people like sports stars coming out and talking about mental health and saying how they're going to get support. And that, I think, has really helped start to break down those walls and those barriers of stigma that have existed up until now.
Sue, with young children and anxiety, why are there so many young kids these days that have got suffering anxiety?
It's a big question. It's a big question, Alan. What we do know is that more and more children are coming to clinics, coming to doctors, coming to pediatricians with symptoms of anxiety that are overwhelming for them, and that they're really struggling in their environment to cope because of anxiety. And they're withdrawing more and more, school refusals, separation anxiety, all that kind of presentation, which is really impacting on our youth. Why it's happening is a very big question. Are we more aware of anxiety? Are we more accepting of anxiety? Social media seems to be having quite an impact on it, but I think it's a whole combination.
What sort of physical manifestations does the young person have? And as a parent, when the parent observes those, what should they do?
So the core component is going to be avoidance. That's the core component of all anxiety, is avoidance. So that could be overt avoidance, like, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go out with my friends, I don't want to sit this exam. That's sort of kind of really overt, so we can see it. But there is also kind of a more subtle forms of avoidance, which are subtle forms of anxiety, which would be high levels of avoidance or shyness or withdrawal. So it may not be, they're not specifically saying, I don't want to go to school, but they're withdrawing from their friends. That's kind of presentation. The younger children tend to present with physical symptoms. So they'll be saying, their stomach, we get a lot of kiddies saying that they have stomach aches and they're feeling sick. And while initially, obviously, you have to look at the medical underlying reasons. Is there something going on? Is there a bug or something underlying that? But if that's ongoing, and then the child is beginning to, you're noticing other presentations like they're more reluctant to go into school, or they're more clingy, or they're crying, or then it's really important that you start to take note of this and you start to try and get an understanding of what might be underlying that.
And when they see that there's no medical issue, because they've been to the doc, there's no medical issue, what do they do then?
Well, if it's something like school refusal, I would be contacting the school and trying to get an understanding of what might be happening there. And seeing if you, it's not always, I have to go to a psychologist straight away. If you can work with the young person and try and understand what's happening for them and resolve it. Like, it could be, I had a row with my best friend and they're not playing with me anymore, which is really important in a child's life. And if it's something like that, you may be able to just talk to the school teacher. They may be able to do, observe for a little while, try and get a feeling for what's happening. And then that can all just kind of be worked through. For other children, it's not going to be that simple. So we know that 30% of young people before the age of 18 are going to experience anxiety. And many of them are not getting the help. So only 1% are actually seeking the help that they need. So we really need to be vigilant and know what's happening for our kids. And if we think that those symptoms are ongoing and there's nothing overt in our environment that we can do to support our children, like talk to the school teacher, well, then we might need to seek help. So your first port of call would be your GP, chatting to them about it, and if necessary, seeking a referral onto somebody who's more skilled at working with this.
When you see a child as a psychologist, what sort of strategies do you give them and what can be done to help them?
Really, it depends on the young person. A lot of time it'll depend on their age. So if they're very, very young, early school years, I would be working very closely with the parents, usually the primary caregiver, which most typically is the mum, and often would have her in the session nearly more often than the young person to try and get to observe and monitor where they're noticing the anxiety, what might be triggering some of the anxiety feelings, and then empowering them with strategies that they can support the young person with. As they get older, I'd focus more on having maybe the child and parent in session together, or sometimes the child will come in themselves and then the parent comes in at the end. And we start to look at more kind of CBT kind of methods of working with children. CBT.
That's cognitive therapy, behaviour therapy.
Yeah, behaviour therapy. Yeah, absolutely. So it's the gold standard around anxiety and depression. It's what's recommended. So what we're looking at is the connection between your feelings, your thinking and your behaviour, and how they all link, and helping the young person to understand that. And something that's really powerful about overcoming anxiety or managing anxiety is understanding what's happening in your body. Because often these kids don't know why, they suddenly feel sick, or they might feel lightheaded, or they're breathing really fast, and their heart's pounding, and it's actually quite scary. So understanding the physiology behind anxiety, we talk in very child-friendly terms, depending on their age, about what part of the brains are controlling this, and then how we can use strategies to support them to be able to regulate their own anxiety.
What if the parents are at loggerheads?
So as in one parent thinks there is anxiety and one parent
yes, there isn't? And one's working for and the other's working against.
So it's a really difficult situation, and that in itself could be causing the anxiety. That can be underlying difficulties in the family dynamics and the parental relationships, which can be really impacting on a child and causing anxiety. I mean, for me, the best thing is if I have both parents on the one page. My client is always the young person or the person that's in front of me. So it's not about saying who's right or wrong in the parental relationships, but it's about trying to get them both on the one page to do what's best for their child. And that's what most people want. I very rarely meet a parent that doesn't want the best for their child. But sometimes it's about helping them to understand what I'm going to be doing and how I'm going to benefit their child.
What advice would you give to a child or the parent of a child who is, or you suspect, is suffering from anxiety?
Don't suffer in silence. Anxiety is really effectively treatable. We know how to treat anxiety, and we can get you support so you don't have to live with that level of fear and uncomfortableness in your life. So go get support. Talk to your parents, talk to your GP.